to shout. We get to look and shout and see everything heaven has. Amen. Well, I want you to take your Bible tonight with me, please. Let's go to the book of Genesis. To the book of Genesis in chapter number 28. Chapter number 28. Let me go here and steal my notes. Chapter number 28. And the story of Jacob has come into play here at this time. Most of you are rather familiar with the story of Jacob. And Jacob is the son, obviously, of Isaac and Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob in the succession of the blessings of God. And when you read this story, you understand a little bit more about some of those things that have happened and how God does some things that you and I don't even understand. I mean, when you look at this story and you and I read it, we see that Esau is the older brother in this system. As far as these boys were twins. They were going to be born as twins, and even though they were twins, whoever was born first was the heir to the birthright of Isaac. And you say, well, I thought they were twins, that ought to be a shared situation. That's not Jewish heritage. That's not Jewish thinking, the whoever the firstborn is. So Esau, and you know the story, if you remember, Esau, at the time of birth, it says that Jacob caught a hold of his heel, tried to hold him back. I mean, he was even involved in this thing at the birth and tried to be, as his name, a supplanter, a deceiver, a trickster, if you will. And he tried to be born first. But still, Esau was first. And then, you know, the story as time goes on, Jacob tricks his father into getting the birthright from Esau. And all of these things that happened because it was the plan of God. I mean, if it wasn't, of course, for Jacob, you wouldn't have the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. I mean, that's where all that came from. As I say, a lot of this, I'll be honest with you, I don't understand it. But it's in the plan and it's in the sovereignty of God. So, you know what? We just have to accept it and go on. But I want you to look tonight at this story, if you will. As you get on through the life of these two, you see that Isaac really favors Esau, and Rebekah, his wife, favors Jacob. And so there's a little shenanigans that goes on in the background of things. But now it's come to a point where these boys are about to get married. And Isaac tells his son Jacob not to marry any of the women of the daughters of Canaan, the land where they were, Canaanitish women. He said, I don't want you to marry them. I want you to go back to where our ancestors were in the land of Haran, and I want you to find you a wife there that it would be of our people, of our heritage. He didn't want them there with those idolatrous Canaanites, and that somebody that would change his way of thinking and the things that God had planned for him, he didn't want those to be changed. Now, let me just tell you this, just as an aside to that. Mamas and daddies, that's pretty good thinking. Amen? Let me just tell you that. If you've got kids, you really want to try to give them direction and some wisdom in when it comes time for them to marry. Now, you and I know, maybe you remember, back in these days, many of these marriages were what we called an arranged marriage. The couple really didn't have so much to do with it as we see it today, but it was set up many times by mamas and daddies. And that was the arrangement. It might have been that these families knew this other family and they had a son, they had a daughter, and the daddies out of both those families said, let's get our kids married. And they worked it out that way. And here, there's the idea that Isaac tells him to go, if you'll look there in verse number 1 and 2, and Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan, Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. So he's saying, here's the family, our family, and we want you to marry somebody out of our family. And of course, Jacob heeds the advice. And I guess if you read on, there was a evil heart, I guess you have to say, in Esau, the twin brother. And when he saw that what the mama and daddy wanted Jacob to do, you know what he did? He did exactly what that they had told Jacob not to do. Esau did it. He went and found him. He didn't find him one way. He found him two out of the people of Canaan. And, you know, let me just tell you something. I mean, we probably ain't got too many young folks here right here at this time. But, man, you've heard that old saying, cut off your nose to spite your face. That's just dumb, ain't it? Right? I mean, maybe some of us can help some of these other folks when they're doing these things. But it says that he went and found him a couple of wives. And look what it says in verse number 8. It said, and Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau to Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had had of Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife. He said, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to do exactly what mom and daddy said don't do. Amen? Well, there you are, rebellion, right? And I'll tell you what. Hey, some of y'all, you say, oh, well, preacher, jump on them. Yeah, well, me and you have been there, hadn't we? When maybe we were teenagers. We just going to show mom and daddy who could do what and who knew what and who was on by the ball for it. You know, we were like that, right? But I'm glad mama's and daddy still got some sense. Somebody say amen right there. I believe mamas and daddies still do have a little bit of sense. But anyway, story goes on, and so look in verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took out the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it into thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all the places whither thou goest. And I will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid. And he said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And all of that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you for all the things that you have blessed us with here tonight. And I pray, God, just give us some direction, give us some wisdom, give us some insight on some of these things, and help us to see you. Help us to know, dear Lord, what you want us to see, how you want us to raise and proclaim and glorify your name tonight. And if there's somebody lost, save them. Speak to those that may be hearing by way of Facebook, and just be a blessing now. And everything that's said and done, we'll thank you for it, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I want you to think about this, that here's Jacob in the school of hard knocks. The school of hard knocks. I mean, sometimes you and I, as the people of God, we have to learn stuff the hard way. Amen? Hey, aren't you glad that you can at least learn something, even if you have to learn it the hard way? I mean, sometimes we are as hard-headed as can be. Somebody say amen right there. Because we are. I mean, we think we know better. We think, and you know, we'll look at even some Bible characters and we'll kind of point our fingers like, boy, look at that, he's a mess. Hey, I want to tell you something. Me and you are a mess sometimes too. I'm telling you, I'm looking at, and you're looking at, imperfect people, but thank God we have a perfect God to help us. Amen. We got a perfect God. And Jacob's life, and even at this point, even through some of this that he's going through right now, he's still isn't where he ought to be. Okay? As far as in his spiritual walk. Now, Jacob has come to a place where he understands through his grandfather Abraham, through his father Isaac, through some of the things that are coming on through his life, he understands the things that God has said. And God has said these things to him. And, you know, he knows about God. He understands some of the terminologies and the words and the ideas even of that. And, you know, as I say, we've all been there, right? I mean, we get in church and even though you get saved, guess what? You don't know everything and you are not where you're going to be one day with the Lord. I mean, you know, a lot of times it's just, man, it's difficult to go through this school of hard knocks. But that is where Jacob is. So let's look at him. Now, I do want you to know this. From Beersheba, where he starts out here in verse number 10, and he's making his way along this journey toward Haran. It's a 600-mile trip. 600 miles. Now, we're not really told how he's traveling, but it does appear that he's traveling by himself. Okay? How many of y'all want to take a 600-mile trip by yourself? Nobody that I know of. Even going to a place that you're not familiar with. I mean, hey, some of y'all been to Atlanta, and I see your face wrinkle up and your brow fur a little bit. Hey, when you get famous, I got to drive that mess down there, and that ain't even 120 miles, right? But let me just tell you, here he is. He's going, and as he goes on his journey, he has gone about, some estimates are about 60 miles of this trip. He's got, I don't know how many days behind him, but he's got 60 miles into this trip. And here he is, he comes to this place. And you and I see it where it says, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place. He lighted upon a certain place. He comes to this place. And it said he tarried there all night because the sun was set. I mean, he comes to this place and he's there. He says, I'm going to stay here all night. And the Bible tells you that he gets some stones and uses those as his pillow. I think we've talked about this before. And, you know, I've told you, like, man, how many of y'all want a rock for a pillow? I know some of y'all think you've done that last night or in the last several nights. You slept on a rock or you slept like a rock. I don't know, whichever. But, hey, here he is. He's using a real stone for a pillow. And as he's doing this, the Bible tells us that he has a dream. He sets these stones up, puts them for his pillows, and he lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. Amen? He dreamed. I want you to think about that dream with me, if you would. Let's just look at it just for a few minutes. Here he is. He laid down, and he goes to sleep. And I don't know how, sleeping on a pile of rocks, but he has a dream. Amen? He's dreaming. Well, I don't know if he had pickles and ice cream for supper, but man, he's about to have a dream, right? Listen to what it says. He begins to dream, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels ascending and descending upon it. I mean, here he is, and he begins to drain. Amen? Oh, listen, I could ask some of y'all, and some of y'all told me, and I've told some of y'all my dreams before. I ain't never had one quite like this, okay? Mine's always, I'm running late. I can't find my clothes. I mean, there's something going on in some of my dreams. That's just awful wall weird. But anyway, here he is, and he starts dreaming, and he dreams about seeing a ladder. Now, there's some of the theologians that it may even been like a staircase. Doesn't matter. Whatever it is, it's something that goes from the bottom to the top. And he sees the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. Now, I want you to understand, in Jacob's dream, first of all, there's a ladder. Well, what in the world does that ladder signify to us? Well, the only thing that you can think of is this, is that he's having a dream, and this is getting into his spiritual life. I'm not saying every dream you have has that connection. There may be some, and then probably the majority of them are not. But that's what his is at this time. He is having a dream, and it's something that God is putting in his life. And he sees this ladder with angels going up and down. And they're coming from the heavens above down to earth, and they're going back up. I mean, they're going back and forth. What does that mean, preacher? I think it means this, that God is trying to get him prepared for the fact that he is about to live this life. He's about to live the life of faith. He's about to live the life that God has talked to him about. He's about to live his life for the Lord. And in that living, hey, there's going to be a connection between heaven and earth here below. And brother, God's going to be there to help him. And he's going to use his angelic host to help him in this work. Can I tell you, aren't you glad tonight that God still got some angels in heaven that can come and help me and you when we don't even know about it sometimes? I mean, you and I, we don't realize it most of the time. But I'm glad the Bible tells us that God has his messengers, his angels, that he sends to us to help us in our times of need. And you can go throughout your Bible and you can study that. I'm going to tell you something. Don't overstudy it, okay? Don't overstudy that. I mean, oh, this world is fascinated by angels. Can I tell you, angels are simply the messengers and the workmen of God. Not somebody for you to worship. Not for you to get all tore up and put, plaques all over your house and things on your walls like a lot of people. I'm just telling you, they're God's helpers in working through this life. And here he is. Hey, he sees a ladder with angels going up and down. But that's not all he dreams. I want you to notice what else in the dream that he dreams. It says, and behold, in verse number 13, the Lord stood above it, above the ladder. And said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest. To thee will I give it into thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Boy, isn't that a blessing to know that? I mean, the Lord shows up in this dream, and the Lord gives him his promises. Man, aren't you glad for the promises of God? I mean, this is a reiteration, really, a restatement of the same things that he's told Abraham and he's told Isaac at times prior in the Scriptures. I believe it's chapter number 12 of Genesis and chapter number 24 maybe, where he talked to Isaac, chapter 12, Abraham, chapter 24, Isaac, and he gives them the same promise. He said, I'm giving you some land, amen. God gives them some promises. What are those promises? Well, it breaks down like this in the promise. God gives them the gift of property. He gives them a gift of the land. He tells them, he said, I want you to know where you're laying down tonight, I'm giving it to you and to your seed. He said, I'm giving you the blessing and the promise, the gift of this property. But not only was he giving them the gift of the property, he was giving them the generations of people. You see that? He said, "And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. I'm going to give you a land full of people." Boy, what a blessing. I mean, God said, "I'm going to multiply your people. I'm going to multiply your people." And, you know, here's Jacob. Like, he don't know what any of this means. You know what? He ain't even married yet. He ain't even got child one yet. But God said, "Look, this is what I'm going to do for you." He gives him that promise of the gift of the property, the gift of the generations of the people. And then he said, "I also am going to give you this. I'm going to be personally with you." You see that? He says in verse 15, "Behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all the places whither thou goest, and I'll bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." God said, "I'm going with you." Man, you'd say, "Preacher, what a promise." Yeah, can I tell you, Jesus made us some very similar promises. He said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." He told us to take His word and spread it abroad, and that His people would increase in number. I mean, listen, we've got some of the same problems. He gave us a piece of property. It just ain't down here. It's over in heaven. Amen. You've got some of the same promises that have been promised to you as God has said, "I will." Amen. Let me tell you something. There's a difference when God says, "I will," and when we say, "I will." Well, sometimes our will gets messed up, don't it? I mean, we try and we have good intentions, but sometimes we fail miserably in those things. Can I tell you, God ain't lost one yet. I mean, every time He says, "I will," He will. And He does. And thank God for that. Amen. So you see the dream that Joseph dreams. But not only that. Okay, notice, second of all, we see Jacob's discernment. Jacob's discernment. Jacob's dreamed this dream, and then he wakes up. You see that in verse number 16? And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." And he was afraid. And he said, "How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven." Wow, isn't that amazing? Here he is, he wakes up. I want you to understand, sometimes God does some great things for me and you, and He gives us a spiritual discernment of them. They are understood. And I want you to know this. This book that I was talking about this morning, this Bible, it is only spiritually discerned. A normal carnal mind can't figure the Word of God out, but when God begins to give you some insight and some discernment, you can understand what His Word is saying to you. Amen? So he begins, Jacob's walking around here and he's looking around, and all of a sudden he wakes up and he says, "I'm somewhere." And really, I mean, you think of it like this. He was somewhere that he didn't really know. He was somewhere that he didn't. The Bible said that he came to a place. Aren't you glad God's got a place that He'll meet you at? Amen. Boy, I'll tell you, old Moses met him out there in the wilderness when he saw that bush burn, but it wasn't consumed. And God was there. Amen. Gideon met him down at the threshing floor, and the angel of the Lord appeared, and Gideon is just trying to hide and get some stuff done and make a little food for his family, and the angel showed up and said, "Thou mighty man of valor." No, Gideon's looking around like, "Who are you talking to? I'm a scaredy cat." Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, God will meet you in some places and begin to do some things. And first of all, in this, as He does, He gets a discernment. It's discernment. Can I tell you, when God opens your eyes to some things, it'll be a heavenly blessing to you. Here's Jacob. He didn't really know where he was. He didn't know where he was. You know, I think there's a lot of times Christians come into church and they really don't know what they got, where they are. They come in the house of God and they're like, well, we're going to go in there and they're going to sing and they'll take up an offering and the preacher will preach and we'll talk a little while and we'll go home. I mean, that's what they think. But friend, can I tell you, it's so much more than that. When you get to meet with God and with His family. And here's Jacob. He didn't know where he was. But then when God began to show up, when God began to speak, when God began to do, he realized where he was. You see that? He looks at this with a very discerning eye and he said, surely the Lord is in this place and I knew it not. He has an awareness that is amazing. He's aware of, let me tell you, you and I ought to pray every time that we come in this house. We want to see Him. I want to see Him. I want Him to show up when we sing the song. Brother Ronnie gets ready to raise his hand, get everybody start saying, woo, I want Him to show up. Hey, when we get ready to take up offering, I want Him to go up and down the aisle. When we get ready to special sing or have prayer or preaching or whatever, I want Him to show up. Amen. I want an awareness of Him. Let's be aware spiritually of where we are. Amen. I mean, here's Jacob. He's like, well, I just thought I was at a little place by the roadside. I thought I was at a place where I had to make a bed out of rocks. But boy, can I tell you, he said, it's more than that. He said, I am here. You know what he said? This is the house of God. Boy, when you come in this place, you ought to realize that. This is the house of God, y'all. I mean, I know everybody's, well, it's the church. No, this is the house of God. This is where the Lord moves in. This is where the Lord wants to be worshipped. This is where the Lord comes down. This is where He meets with His people. This is where He smokes and He shakes and He visits and He does something for His people. Amen. That's where we are. That's where, hey, Jacob's like, I didn't really know this. He said, surely the Lord's in this place. And I knew it not. So you see his awareness. But I want you to notice, also see that he's afraid. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? I mean, it kind of sobered him up a little bit, didn't it? I think sometimes you and I need to come in here and it needs to sober us up. This ain't playtime. This ain't, you know, the love boat. This ain't, we think it's a lot of things. Can I tell you, this is a place where we come in and we fear the Lord. Amen? Oh, let me tell you, we need to come in here with a fearful thought of God within our hearts. And say, I want to see the awesomeness. And I'm not telling you to be scared to death that God's going to do this and that and kill people. And do. I'm just saying, we need to respect Him. We need to honor Him. We need to be ready to worship Him. Thank God, y'all. Hey, we're in this place, and He's in this place. That's what he said. He said, I'm afraid. When he realized where he was, shook him up a little bit, didn't it? Can I tell you, when Isaiah realized where he was, in Isaiah chapter number 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And there was smoke, and the doorpost moved with the voice of Him that spoke. I mean, hey, it was a scary place. But He's in the right place. Amen? Boy, when Moses saw that bush burning in the wilderness, and it wasn't consumed, he said, I'll now turn aside and see this sight. I'm going to turn around and see what this is. And when he did, a voice spoke to him and said, take off your shoes. The ground whereon thou standest is holy ground. Amen? I'm just telling you, friend, it's something that we need to understand is a place that demands our respect and our honoring and all that you and I can do to bless the name of the Lord. So here you see his awareness and you see that he's afraid. So he's got a discernment. Next, I want you to notice that Jacob, after all of this has happened and he realizes where he is, then he makes a dedication. See Jacob's dedication. It says in Jacob rose up early in the morning, and he took the stone that he put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar, P-I-L-L-A-R, a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. What that means is he took those pillows that he had been lying on, and now he sticked them up to make like a monument. That's what he did. He placed one on top of another, on top of another. He placed those stones together, and he poured oil on top of it. What are you saying? I'm saying he got ready for a little dedication service here. I mean, there was a pillar. He made a pillar. You know why anybody in the Bible ever makes a pillar out of stones? It's a place of remembrance. A place. Well, I'll tell you. You and I need to come in this place and stack some stones up for the glory of God and say, hey, I remember the Lord. I remember what He done for me. I remember who He is. I remember how He's blessed me. I remember what He's done. I remember who my God is. Amen. I mean, just stack them up there. Hey, can I tell you something? Hey, a lot of folks want to stack stones, but they don't want to pour anything on it. Because, see, that costs you something. I don't know how much oil that he had with him. But you know what he said? Whatever I got, I'm willing to give it to God. He began to pour his oil out. That might have been oil to make bread with. That might have been oil to heal up wounds with. It might have been oil to do a lot of things. But he said, I'm a giving it to God. Hey, come in, stack up some stones and put something in it. Pour something out. Give something to God. Amen. Don't just show up at the church. Come in here and expect God to show up and bless you, and you pour out something to Him. You give Him an offering. Amen. Give Him an offering. And I'm not talking about just money. You know, sometimes we think, well, preacher, I put my check in. Well, that may be fine, and I think we ought to do it. But I'm telling you, offer Him something. Say, Lord, I just want you to look down on the inside here and see what my heart is. It's full. And it's full because of you. And I just want, can I let these old clay lips praise you? Can I let this voice sing glory to your name? Can I let these hands fold and come down in prayer before you? Amen. Well, I'm telling you, that's what we ought to be doing. Amen. I mean, that's what you see that Jacob is doing here. It was a pillar. But it was a place, a stone of remembrance. And thereby he honored the God that had spoken to him. He was honoring God. But not only do you see here that there's a pillar, but I want you to notice this. It says there in verse number 19, and he called the name of that place Bethel. But at the name of the city was called Luz at first. And I want you to notice, hey, not only do you see the pillar, a stone of remembrance, but you see the place that's a site renamed. It's renamed for the honor of God. That word, Luz, it used to be called Luz. And there's some of the Hebrew historians say that it has a background talking about almond trees. And they say, you know, that might have been it. But also, some of the others say, but the word also means something that is crooked or something that has a division or a misdirection to it. It has something that deviates from straight, if you will. It's turned a little bit. But you know what? That's the way we are. Hey, that's the way we are in our natural state. We're crooked. But aren't you glad you come to the house of God and things change? Amen? I mean, you might be at a crooked place in your life, but God can flat straighten you out. He can bring you to a place where, hey, you can be glad that you're at the house of God. David said in the psalm, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Amen? Boy, didn't Jesus go in and clean out the temple? Because he said, all that crowd had made it a den of thieves. He said, but this is my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer. Amen? I mean, that's the idea and that's the purpose behind that place. And hey, here he is. He's like, yeah, you know what? I believe this is God's house. I believe this is the place. I've met God here. I don't care what y'all called it before and how I was before. Hey, things have changed, and this is the house of God. Amen. You know what? Some of y'all, there ought to be a change going down at your house. Amen. You might have had a house that had drunks and drug addicts and derelicts and mean folk going there and say, hey, devil, we're kicking you out. And the name of this place has changed. Amen. This is now the Lord's house. Amen. I mean, hey, now people think you're crazy, but you just start dedicating you and your stuff to God. Tell God, say, you know what, God, this is your car. And we're going to use it for your honor and for your glory. You're going to get me to work and back, and I'm going to make money to help my family and feed folks and do whatever we're doing. Thank God. And it's dedicated to you. My house, it's God's. It belongs to Him. Hey, everything I got, He gave it to me. I'm giving it back to Him. Amen. Amen. That's the way it ought to be. That's the way that it ought to be. So you see, this place is called Bethel. Amen. Bethel. And Bethel means the house. Bet, B-E-T, or B-E-T-H in your Bible. Many times you'll see Bethlehem. And, you know, we see other terms that have Beth in them. Bethlehem means the house of bread. Right? Well, Lachim is bread in the Hebrew. B-E-T-H, or Bet. If you're watching the news, and you start seeing some of them things they're talking about over in Israel, you look at some of them things. There'll be some of them called Bet Shan, or Bet, I can't even think of the other, Bet Luz, Bet Bethlehem, whatever. And it will be, B-E-T means the house. It means the place. It means, for them, they probably translate it loosely into the city. But I'm telling you, hey, brother, to me and you, it means here, Bethel is the house of God. The house of God. This is where God shows up. All right, let's look at one last thing. You see, Jacob's dream and his discernment and his dedication. But last of all, let's look at Jacob's declaration. In those last two verses, in verse 20, it says, or last three verses, he says, Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone, which I've set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. I want you to notice, hey, you see, as he begins to talk about and make his declaration before God. He comes and he first mentions God's provision for him. Listen to what he says. He says the same thing God said. Can I tell you, you and me need to be saying the same thing that God says. Sometimes stuff comes out of our mouth and it ain't right. Amen? You need to say the same thing God's saying. I mean, I know sometimes we don't feel good and sometimes our minds get off track and all that, but you just keep telling. Don't you tell everybody I'm a failure. God didn't say you was a failure. God said you're His. He's going to take care of you. He'll bless you. He'll be there with you. Amen? Don't you tell people that you're this and you're that. And I'm not trying to play name it and claim it. I'm just telling you, look at what God says about every one of us. Look what He says. Here's what Jacob says to him. He bowed about saying, if God, I believe he's saying it like this, if you will, for me and you. Since I know that God's going to be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and He's going to give me bread to eat and clothes to put on, and I will come again to my Father's house in peace, then hallelujah, He's my God. Amen. Y'all just make your mind up that you know what His provisions are for you. Amen. I mean, Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But he says, give us this day our daily bread. Amen? And you know what I think? I think God can feed me and you. Hey, some of you prove it. Amen? Get that out there. Say hallelujah right there. Amen? I'm just telling you, He's taking care of you. And you know what? He ain't grunting. He ain't broke a sweat. It's not causing him to stay up at night and twiddle his thumbs and say, woe is me. He does it every day and takes care of us. Amen? And you know what? He can. He can and he does. Jesus said, just don't take all these things into worry that a lot of people do. He said, but you consider, he said, think about the sparrows. Your Father feeds them every day. Amen? I mean, the birds are there. And I've told you this. This was a long time ago. I heard this. It's probably more than this now. But somebody said, if we, us as human beings, had to feed the birds of the air for just one day, it would bankrupt five major countries. It cost us that much to feed the birds. You know what? God does it every day and ain't broke a sweat yet. Hallelujah. Amen? He said, you think about the lilies of the field. They don't do a thing. They don't toil, labor, sweat. They don't do nothing. But they're clothed every day because your Father takes care of them. And he says, you're better than birds and flowers, and God will take care of you. Amen? David said, I've been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. But aren't you glad that God can take care of you? God taking care of you, and you say, well, preacher, I don't have a lot. Hey, he didn't say you'd have a lot. He didn't say you'd have storehouses. He didn't say you'd have multiplied. He didn't say the bank would be full for you. He said, I'll take care of you. Amen? You know what Elijah did? Elijah just laid down by the creek side, and the birds, the ravens, come in and brought him food in the morning and food in the evening. And he just laid there and slurped water out of the creek, got fed by the birds, and shouted the victory. Amen. And you know what? When that ran out, God said, well, I'm going to send you down to a widow woman's house. And Elijah said, wait a minute. She's broke. God said, but I ain't. Amen. Woo! How about that? Went down there and she said, all I got's enough to make one little cake of bread for me and my son. Then we're going to die. And Elijah said, you make that for me first and let's see how it works out. They ate out of that empty meal barrel, that little jar of oil that didn't have nothing. They ate out of that for 6 months. Amen. Hallelujah, what a God, right? Amen. When you get down to the bottom of the barrel, you'll find him there. Amen. You'll find him there. Listen, there's those provisions that come from God. Won't you notice this last of all? Won't you notice the pledge that he makes? He makes a pledge. He said that if I come again to my Father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And I think if you look at it this way, he's talking about this is how I'll worship. And my pledge is I'm going to worship you, Lord. And in this pledge, listen to what he says. Here's the who I'm going to worship. He said, then shall the Lord be my God. I'm going to worship the Lord. You make your mind up, you're going to worship the Lord. There's a lot of folks in this country, they're going to worship the dollar bill. They're going to worship the entertainment. They're going to worship the sports. They're going to worship the music. They're going to worship all this stuff. But I'm telling you, hey, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen? You just need to make up your mind. Amen? He said, here's my pledge. My worship is going to be this. I pledge to worship the Lord. Not only that, that's the person he's going to worship. But look at the place. He said, and this stone which I've set for a pillar shall be God's house. He don't know it yet, but there's about 14 years ahead of him, or maybe even more than 14 years. He's going to go to Laban's house, and he's going to labor for 7 years and kind of get tricked himself into getting married because he wants to marry Rachel. But guess what? His father-in-law is going to give him Leah for a wife. And then he's going to have to work 7 more years to get the girl that he wanted. And then a few other little incidents is coming up. But you know what? He comes back this way again. You know what happens the next time he comes back here? The WWE has moved in. He has a wrestling match back at the same place. Can I tell you, sometimes you come in the house of God and it may seem like a wrestling match, When I'm glad when God's there. You know what he said? The Lord told him, let me go, the day's breaking. And old Jacob said, I got a hold, I ain't letting go till you bless me. You ought to get in here and say, God, I'm not letting go till you bless me. Amen. I'm going to hang in here till something happens. And he did. This is the place. This is the place. The person he's going to worship is the Lord. The place. He said, I've just set up a pillar. We're going to call this God's house. And then last of all, I want you to notice the price that he's willing to pay. He said, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Hey, can I tell you, there's people, they talk about tithing. They say, that's under the Old Testament law. Moses ain't got here yet. Moses won't show up for another several chapters in this book, past chapter 50, and then you got to get in the first two or three chapters of Exodus. Moses ain't even on the scope yet, y'all. But you know what he's doing? Same thing his daddy and his granddaddy did. He's ready to give the tenth. His granddaddy, all the way back to Abraham, what did he do? He gave the tenth to Melchizedek. Ooh, what about that? They wasn't no law. What are you saying? I'm saying, buddy, it's always time to give to the Lord. Always time to give to the Lord. And he said, whatever I get, however I gain, whatever comes my way, I'm going to give a tenth of it to the Lord. That's part of his worship, y'all. I think it ought to be part of ours. I honestly believe that it ought to be part of ours. I don't make nobody, I don't force nobody, I don't mention it very much. But you know what? God's been good to Old Bethel Baptist Church. Amen. Down through the years. I've thought about it, and I can remember, maybe some of y'all can remember too. I remember when we built this building. Woo, you talk about sweating and praying and agonizing. Well, I mean, at that time when we built this building, it seems like I remember it was less than $300,000 to build this building. $300,000, I mean, that's everything. All the pews and all the, everything that's in it. $300,000. If you had to do it today, $1.5 million. Amen. Somebody say, I'm glad we ain't got to pay for it today, preacher. We might take up an offer tonight and see about improvement. Well, no, better not. But I'm just saying, wow, at that time it looked pretty impossible, looked pretty ugly, looked pretty bleak. And we was wondering, where's it going to come from? And can I tell you, we took up offerings and done whatever we was doing. And then when we built the building, we had a loan. And I know the guy at the bank told one of our members here to go down there and pay that note every month, and we'd pay extra because we had it. And he told him, he said, sir, now y'all don't have to pay this off early. He said, yes, we do, and we're going to, amen. We don't want to be indebted to you. And God got us out of that indebtedness in less than 5 years, and we give him the glory and the praise. Amen. Can I just tell you, God's good. You can give and give, but he'll outgive you every time. He'll bless you. He'll meet your needs. And I know there's many of you that he's blessed your families and he's done things for you. And all you can do is just look up and say, I know that's you, God. Woo, hallelujah. You met my needs again. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad? Hey, here's Jacob. He went to the school of hard knocks. There's some hard things went on, some hard times in his life. There were some hidden treasures that came his way, and some hopeful days were there in the end for him. Praise the Lord for that tonight. Hey, listen, you need to come pray about something. While Brother Ronnie comes, we'll get a verse of a song ready. Hey, I'm here to tell you tonight, God has still guided. God's still good. God can still meet any one of our needs. I don't care what happens. You know, people say, preacher, what's going to happen on the political front? I don't have a clue. What's going to happen on the world event scene? I don't know exactly. But I can tell you this. God already knows. He's been there. He is there. And you know what he's going to do? He'll take care of me and you. Let's stand tonight, if you will. What are we going to sing?
Page 362.
362. I am thine, O Lord.